Here we go. Let's see how this goes. Check 1, 2. Here we are. I wasn't going to do this, actually. I was going to go to bed. It's like 5 o'clock. 5:35. Good God. But I had a very interesting night. We did a lot of walking and talking to myself, to God. Really just getting raw and honest with myself. I'm in a emotional repression kind of group that in the midst of my OCD recovery, you know, kind of like in my understanding of OCD and stuff, man, like I've had to, you know, go to a lot of underlying emotional things. And, you know, everything that I do, so much of revolves around the individual, you know, because it's this desire to really be me, you know. It's the first song on my album called Be Me. My album's becoming the first song is called Be Me, and you know, that's really all that I've wanted to be in my life, is to be myself. It's never felt like I've actually been myself. I've gotten close. I get closer. And, you know, when I actually break the layers down to a lot of the things I've had to deal with, you know, honestly, man, it's like a lot of my desires for success, I've realized, have been founded on false premises. And been founded on, a lot of my desires for success have been founded on ideas of being more than a human being. Of having some sort of value that I can compare to somebody else, to be better than somebody else. To, in the mass of society, you know, you have your normal people. People that are kind of average, that kind of follow the flock. Or are the flock, I guess. You know, the people that are special and build society and actually pull things forward. And that's a terrible way of viewing people, because everyone is a world unto themselves. And the egocentricity of my entire life has really been broken down before me to where, like, the vanity and the futility of my pursuit of any kind of success has been built on a hyper extension of myself to try to be something that I already have, be someone I already am, you know, to obtain something that I already have. And it's really kind of rocked me. And it made me realize just how much of a fool's paradise I have tried to seek in just about everything. And how it's been right in front of my face the whole time, and I haven't been willing to look at it because it's such a terrifying thing to look at. It's such a sobering thing to look at. And I was, you know, gonna go to sleep because I'm really tired, and you know, this is probably gonna get like 5 views. People will click on it and see my tired face and be like, okay, next, you know. But for those who actually listen to what I do have to say and put out, you know, like, as I was pulling up to my driveway, there was this video a guy had posted on Facebook. No one had liked it, and basically, it was this guy driving down the road at night and saying, hell, you know, there's this feeling that we have on the inside of us that no one knows what we have. No one knows how much we're fighting this battle. And there's this fatigue. There's this tiredness. It's not a physical tired. It's a tired of the soul. And this guy was saying about how You know, if God was sitting right in front of me, that I would look at him in the eye and say, you know, I'm done. I'm done. I've tried. I tried. I'm done. And it was a very somber kind of video. And I really related with it, honestly. But what was weird about it is that, like, I guess for me, having really thought about some of these heavier things tonight, I kind of saw it as like a positive thing. You mean like I don't have to do all this stuff for to value really who I am? And again, you know, these sort of like big revel insights and revelations and perceptions of your life, they happen progressively. You get closer and closer. You know, people think that I'm, for the longest time, I've been kind of like a real talk kind of person where like I'm very authentic and I connect. I'm able to be whatever, but still, it's like there's so many layers that are of like of someone's real personhood that I can even feel like when I'm beginning to be fake. I feel it immediately, and I'm, you know, I've gotten good at being able to stick with what I'm doing. But that's the thing, is that when you begin to have even a cult of your own authenticity, it's like you know how to imitate it. You know how to kind of like hobble through it, convince the people, you know, and that you're okay. When really on the inside, you're fading, you know, and you need to be recharged. And honestly, everything in my life recently, I've felt that way with. I've had to kind of step away from everything. I've done these podcasts, like, because I realized everything is like some sort of angle to make me like look better than somebody else and to have like more value in my in who I am. I'm supposed to be this, you know, whether it's music, you know, like a persona with that, persona with writing, you know. There's all, it's all persona. It's all empty persona. And, you know, some people can do it, you know, and I only know me. I only know how I am. When I break myself down, when I really get myself down to just what's really going on, there's such a sense of relief that you know, people may listen to this, you know, that, and actually it seems so obvious, but it's not so obvious. At least it hasn't been to me, you know. The underlying motivations we have, we can convince ourselves that we're doing things for certain reasons. But in reality, there's ulterior motives that we dare not make conscious to ourselves, because this world is so fast-paced and telling us go, 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 do this, achieve this. Success is this. Success is being a human being. That's what a success is. A success is being a person and looking at people and seeing people. That sounds so stupid, like simple. And yet it's like we want some degree of superiority. We want to think of ourselves as having some degree of insight into some grand, I don't know what, experience of life, you know, and that when all is said and done, we lived the good life. And it's like, yeah, that's good. That's fine. It's good to have good desires and to do things. And again, this comes back just to myself, that like I can't build anything if I'm first removing myself from myself. And if there are deep wounds or deep connections within myself, or I guess disconnections rather, than my falsification of who I really am. Has the opposite of the law of attraction. It's the law of unattraction. Things don't work out because they're not supposed to. Because you are unconsciously not allowing them to happen because you're fighting against it. Part of you is fighting against it because it's like, it's not really you. It's not really connected to who you are. And unless you get really, really channeled in with that, being done is one of the greatest things I think we can be, because we then can be planted more firmly and deeply within the core of who we are, and we're not extending ourselves. It's like a tree trunk and a branch. It's like to be the trunk, to be planted firmly with roots. And to feel like that infrastructure within yourself. It's like that you can only... It's like branches can extend from that. But you know, the more you get away from that trunk, the more destabilizing it is. And... You know, a lot of the OCD stuff, a lot of the different things that I've had to kind of go through and experience, and a lot of the insights that I have is navigating these issues that I think really come back to being yourself and not realizing that sometimes we're afraid to be who we are. That we will create false variations of that. And there's a spectrum, I guess, of different versions of ourselves. The closer we get to who we are as a person, who we really are, what is our reality? It's not that we stay in that reality, because we can learn new things, we can have new experiences. But if you're not... pegged in the authenticity of your own awareness that's genuine, and you have your own respect for your own experience that you've had, and your own like personhood, I guess you could call it. I don't know. It's like it's the respect for the depths of your experience. New experience can never change you. In fact, it's almost like life blurs itself into everything, you know, like days go by, years go by, you know, and it's the unmaking of a person in the name of being a person. You know, it's being aware of the false constraints we put on our lives that give us forms of suffering that we wouldn't immediately recognize as suffering. Numbness is suffering. Numbness is one of the worst ways of suffering in life that we know. Many times when you feel pain, it's because you're still alive. When you stop feeling pain, that's when you are beginning to die, you know? And one of the best things that we can do is intentionally go after these areas of ourselves that are vulnerable, that maybe even feel tired, and seeing what are we hanging on to? What are the things that we have our identity in, our false identity in? And realize that like our true identity is who we are as a human being without any effort whatsoever. It's having fidelity to our core experience. I'm sure it's more than that, but it's all I got right now. Almost 6 o'clock in the morning. So this is going to be a very short podcast, but I wanted to get something out just to pretend like I'm a productive, superior person in society. That's Cole's knocking on my door. He hears me up. I don't know what's going to happen for me from here on out, honestly. Part of me really wants to quit music and retire. Part of me wants to quit doing this. Pretty much everything I've ever wanted to do, I want to quit because I see it's an extension of a part of me that isn't rooted with really who I am. That pretty much every degree of different kinds of ambition have all been attempts to be something better than other people. It's liberating, honestly. It feels like I'm so much more deeper into myself. Like, it feels good, man. It feels, because I want to value people. And when you can find places where you've been morally compromised in your perception of other people, I mean, it feels good to make that correction. But it's also like very sobering because you're like, dude, like, it's amazing how we can deceive ourselves. It's amazing. I mean, there's so, unconsciousness is such a weird thing. Something can be right in front of us in our lives, and we don't even see it. And the best that we can do is live on a deeper level where we can admit what we're feeling, connect to who we are, connect to our reality, and begin to recognize when we pick up a false authenticity or a false version of ourselves. We can kind of begin to track how we manipulate ourselves, how different parts of ourselves, certain ways we have to present ourselves in the world, and sometimes we're drawn to hyper focus on one or more of those areas because we are drawn to our lack in a certain area. And it's our hyper focus on that gets our entire focus, where we neglect other areas. And it's like seeing our totality, coming to terms with that, and being very at peace with it. The strength of someone's focus is really the energy they have as a person, that they can be and do lots of different things. And yet it's because they're pegged to the reality, they're pegged to what's the foundational respect for themselves that everything else flows from. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, how, I think people make a mistake when they think of relationships or marriage, and they think of spending their entire lives together. To me, a successful relationship is two people putting one foot in front of each other at the same time, taking that step together, and then taking another step after that. Not taking two steps, taking one step, and then taking another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And before long, they realize, you know what, we like doing this with each other. Let's keep doing this. Let's not keep track of how many steps we're taking. Let's just one step at a time. And I think that mindset with ourselves in our fidelity to ourselves is taking that one step at a time and being who you need to be as you're remaining faithful to who you are and to the depths of who you are. Everyone has a different version of this. It's going to look differently for you than me. And maybe this is like such like a common sense thing that I'm the last to know. It'd be so ironic to be like pride myself on being perceptive and being so poetic with my perceptions, and it's like the most basic things in life that I need to confront are like right in front of me, and but you know, that's, I think that's life. Again, it comes back to unconsciousness. It comes back to the own crosses we bear of the things that we have to confront, that if we don't confront, they will see to it that they create the conditions of regret and of a life unlived. And as long as we actually see our unconscious issues as problems and not opportunities, not wake up with gratitude of saying, you know what, what are the areas that steal my love, that steal my hope, steal my faith, steal my life? It's like you begin to trust the light of who you are to go out and to expand that light into all the areas of yourself. Not to try to just protect it, but to expand it. You don't want to hyperextend yourself. It starts with the flame of who you are, the flame of your own soul, your own unconditional value of your experience, that you can only build your life sufficiently on how authentic you can really become with yourself and with coming to terms with being connected to yourself and to the world, you know. And so sometimes you do have to just walk away from things and say, you know what, if I have to stay walked away, it's worth it. Everything is worth it if I preserve myself, that I preserve my ability to really love. That starts with myself. And so to what degree I'm done with things I'm doing, I don't know. I'm just going to take that one step at a time.